It is officially Double or Nothing weekend. Hey there, everyone. I'm Denise Salcedo. You're watching Speak Now Pro Wrestling here on the YouTube channel. And there is kind of an excitement in the air. I always feel this excitement in the air whenever we're heading into a massive pay-per-view. And Double or Nothing for me is always one of my favorite pay-per-views to watch because I was at the first ever AEW Double or Nothing. And it's funny because when I think back, it wasn't even like that long ago, but fun fact, and I was just thinking about this, how crazy and how much has happened in like this short amount of time. Like clearly AEW has like blown up, and you know, we're now, you know, we have multiple shows a week. We got Dynamite, we got Rampage, Collision to come, and it has grown massively. I still remember Jon Moxley coming out and making his debut. And so like I think about all of this and just everything that has happened in the history of AEW. And a fun fact too, I remember applying for, because I had just started my YouTube channel, I think like the year beforehand, or I forget what year, whatever. And I remember applying for press. Get this. I remember applying for press for the first ever AEW Double or Nothing and being denied. And it's so funny when I think about that, because I'm like, holy shit, so much has happened from like that point on to like where we are now. And I remember going to the show though and having like the best time. And so for me, Double or Nothing thing kind of always holds like a special place in my heart, just because I love to go to these road trips to Las Vegas, except for that one time where I had to go to Jacksonville. But I remember going to like to all of these times that I've done these road trips to Las Vegas for it, and it's always such a good time. So I'm excited to be there this weekend and excited to do the prediction show tomorrow. So heads up, in case you guys didn't know, I am doing a prediction show tomorrow with Phil Lindsay and Righteous Reg. We will be on at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursday to do our predictions, not just for Double or Nothing, but also for Night of Champions. But today we got Dynamite, and there was quite a bit that went down. There were a couple of themes today that I noticed about Dynamite, and specific is that obviously not only are we getting our build into Double or Nothing, you know, it's the go home show, we're supposed to be getting that stuff, clearly that's what we're looking forward to. But one of the things that I did notice about AEW in particular today was that we saw a lot of new faces. Now I'm not talking about new faces in wrestling, but just new faces to AEW period. Nearly every single match that we got today had somebody that, you know, isn't someone that we often see in AEW, and I'll talk more about that when we get into each individual match. But we definitely saw a lot of new faces today, and then we also got the surprise of Sabu, which we're gonna get into as well. But I did not see Sabu coming at all. And so when Sabu came, I mean, you kind of already knew that it was going to be him the second that Adam Cole started introducing him. And I remember, like, the second Adam Cole started introducing him, I was like, Sabu? Shit, what? And then Sabu actually comes out, and I'm like, holy shit, it's Sabu. I'll talk more about Sabu in a second, but we got all of that to get into here today. Now, before we get into all of this, just a heads up to everybody here in the chat. Thank you so much. I want to give some shout outs to our YouTube members, to Tim Weininger and Darf Steven, who are YouTube members here on the channel. But also, if you guys want to help support this podcast or simply get your question or your comment read here on the stream, get your hot take, your predictions, your opinions on AEW tonight, or even Double or Nothing, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. Your super chats help me basically stay funded here on these shows and gets me paid. So that's the way to go, man. Like, I'm just gonna be real with you guys. You know, I am my own boss now. Now that my podcasts are here on this YouTube channel, I pay me. And so the only way to do that is via ads and super chats. And YouTube a little greedy with those ads, by the way. They a little greedy, but whatever. All right. I hate doing that. I hate breaking the fourth wall. Like, I don't want to say breaking the fourth wall, because I guess I always am. I mean, this is a one-on-one kind of show, but it is pretty funny to come out here and be like, oh, this is why you should send me super chats. YouTube's a little greedy. But we'll get to that. We do got our first super chats, and then we'll get right into the show. We got Grapple Geekery, a huge supporter here of the channel and YouTube member, who says, please beat Jade Taya, end our long national nightmare. Here's the thing though, look, Jade, I have grown to become a fan of Jade Cargill. I think I actually became a fan. I started considering myself a fan of Jade Cargill actually as of last year, Double or Nothing. So I can say that for a whole year, I have been a fan now of Jade Cargill. I was a little bit, you know, not really a fan in the beginning, but as of last year, Double or Nothing, that's when I became a fan of Jade Cargill. And so I know people want to see a brand new champion. I know, but I think from the very beginning, we should all have kind of known we were in this for the long run with Jade, but we'll talk about more of Jade in just a second. We got a super chat here from Nick Rosso who says, it was awesome to see Sabu, one of my childhood favorites, but is he going to turn on Adam Cole? And do we see RVD on Sunday? Also, congrats to Aussie Open for becoming All Elite. I do not know if he turns on Adam Cole. I would hope not. I don't think that would make sense to do personally. And I don't know. We just saw RVD in the WWE draft. He was out there, you know, naming some of the names. So it would be kind of funny if not soon after there, we were to see him do something with AEW, right? That would actually be pretty hilarious, but I don't know. Nick Grosso, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate the continuous support from you each and every single week, man. Okay. And we actually have another one here from Grapple Geekery who says breaking kayfabe instead of breaking the fourth wall. Yeah, you're definitely right on that one. Grapple Geekery, thank you so much. So let's get into this show, everybody. Let's talk about what went down. So let's kick things off with our opening match because we also have some news that came out of this opening match. So we saw Orange Cassidy defend his AEW International Championship against Kyle Fletcher. Now, let me tell you, this was something that I was excited to see already when the match was first announced, but I was even more so excited about this because so Aussie Open is a phenomenal tag team, a phenomenal tag team. I've had them here on the podcast and they're great to chat with. Really great guys, really different personalities, but fun to kind of get to know a little bit. And so they, at New Japan Pro Wrestling Resurgence this Sunday in Long Beach, I was there. And so Kyle Fletcher comes out and basically announces that Mark Davis is injured and they have to drop both sets of the tag team titles, which was very unfortunate. So Mark Davis is out due to injury. And I don't know how long Mark Davis is going to be out. I don't know if this is a short-term thing, a long-term thing. No idea. However, what I was thinking about here was, I'm glad that Kyle Fletcher is getting this opportunity because Mark Davis is out, his tag team partner is out, so him going out there and having this one-on-one match with Orange Cassidy to me is a definite win to have him out there, right? And so this match was really great. I really enjoyed that they gave it a good amount of time. It was a fun pace of a match too, because it wasn't like a super fast-paced match, but it wasn't a slow-paced match. It was a right-in-between type deal. But what I liked about this, though, was really I thought Kyle Fletcher looked freaking phenomenal in this match. I thought he even looked better than Orange Cassidy. And that's not, anything bad against Orange Cassidy. It's just that Kyle Fletcher, they gave him a lot of opportunities to really stand out during this match. And he took them, man. He took them, he grabbed them, and he made sure to let people know, hey, in case you haven't seen me wrestle, this is who I am. And when you see guys that you there's going to be people that know who Kyle Fletcher is and who Aussie Open is and all of that. And they have appeared in the past as a tag team a couple of times on AEW. There are still going to be people that may not be familiar with Kyle Fletcher or Aussie Open. So I even saw some of those comments on Twitter today on my feed, people saying like, oh, this was the first time I saw Kyle Fletcher and oh, he did so good. I want to see more of him and this and that. So I was seeing people comment stuff like that. But this one here, I thought that they let Kyle Fletcher do a whole lot in this match that really stood out, like him doing that vertical suplex spot. He has a phenomenal Michinoku driver, which just looked absolutely beautiful. And here's the other thing that I thought was interesting, though. And for some reason, you would think, hey, Denise, why didn't you notice this sooner? I don't don't know if it's because of their similarities, but this was the first time I really noticed how much bigger Kyle Fletcher is than Orange Cassidy. I never realized it really until this match where I was like, holy shit, Kyle Fletcher just looks like he grew 1,000 times bigger. But I did like to see that difference in this match. It was something that stood out to me a little bit. But what I also liked about this match, though, was that Orange Cassidy, you know, he had gone in, had the tape in the back, and was clearly not, you know, feeling himself 100%. And so throughout this match, he was trying to, you know, inflict the same kind of damage on Kyle Fletcher. And that was definitely something that I enjoyed. Also, for the ending, it was an out of nowhere ending that was, how do I say this? It made Orange Cassidy look like he just got by with this victory. And so Kyle Fletcher kind of came out looking like, dude, you just got me by a little bit here. Because when he grabs him, he not only grabs his legs to get the pin, but he also crisscrosses his legs. So he's like kind of stuck there and is unable to break out. And I thought that was really cool to see the way that he got that win. So this was fun. Now, literally, I think a couple minutes after this match, we end up getting a tweet from Tony Khan announcing that Aussie Open is officially All Elite. And earlier today, I believe Fightful reported earlier today that Aussie Open had interest from both, not just AEW, of course, but also WWE. So they did have both, you know, top companies interested in them. But from the looks of it, they decided to go with AEW, and now they are All Elite. I'm excited to see Aussie Open there, because by the time Mark Davis comes back, I really do think that they're going to add so freaking much to this tag team division, because they are a phenomenal tag team. And I guess for right now, we'll just see Kyle Fletcher hopefully doing, you know, continuing to do these singles matches. I kind of want to just see him, you know, mix it up with all of these different guys that, you know, we haven't seen him wrestle. So this was definitely a win. But let's see what people are saying here. Ryan Evans says, hey, Denise, why do you think AEW do one woman's match? You know, this has been a topic for a long time, guys. The AEW women's division has been a topic from the very beginning. And there are times where they get it right, and then there are times where it's still severely lacking. Excuse me. I was trying to get comfortable here. There are times where you're like, okay, cool. Like, you know, they put the women in prominent spots. You see them get their moment. You see them get, you know, one or two matches. And then there's times where they just don't get that. So it does suck when we don't see that. Like today, we just got the one match. It was just the one match with Lady Frost and Taya Valkyrie. That was it. And so it is something that they still have to work on for sure. Thank you so much to Ryan Evans for sending in that super chat. Let's get some comments and see what people thought about Kyle Fletcher. This is Blade who sent in a comment saying, Kyle Fletcher could be a star in his own. Dude has massive potential. Yes. Matt Hensley says, this was my first time seeing Kyle, and I thought he was doing better than the crowd was giving him credit for. They were miles for the match, even though in-ring was really good. Yes, I do agree with that too, because there are so many times where I see matches that aren't that great, and the crowds, they tend to really just level them up with their energy, and sometimes they make matches better. This was kind of a little bit of the opposite, where if you're watching this match on TV, you're looking at this and you're going, damn, this is a pretty damn good match. But the audience was not necessarily reacting, I think, the same way. There was part of me that even felt like, because, you know, you have to read the crowd, right? When you're watching the show, you're reading the crowd. And especially if you know, I'm reviewing the show, I like to see how the crowd reacts so that I know, hey, is this a good match? Is this not a good match? Does this match suck? And the crowd will tell you that. And when I was watching this, I was thinking, damn, I feel like this is a good match. However, I'm not getting that same feeling from the crowd. And so I kind of felt like maybe I don't know what a good match is or something. And then I go on Twitter and people are like, oh, this was a good match. And I'm like, oh, thank God, because we weren't necessarily getting that too much from the crowd. There were a couple of moments where I did think they were like getting into it, but I do think that there was a little bit more of a quieter period than a loud period in this match. So I do agree. I wish the crowd would have been a little bit more invested in this one here. And let's see what else we got here. And let me make sure I'm all caught up here with the comments. All right. So now let's go ahead and continue on from here. So we end up getting a continuation of the Ricky Starks and Jay White and Juice Robinson feud. We kind of already knew based on how things ended last week when they main evented that this was not over. The story was not over. And here's the thing, and I said this last week, I feel that prior to their main event match last week, the story didn't feel that hot. It truly did not feel that hot. I was interested in it because I'm a fan of Ricky Starks and I'm a fan of Jay White. I'm a fan of those two guys, and that's the reason why I cared. But the build did not feel as hot leading to that main event last week. With all of that being said, after last week and then today, Ricky Starks is basically saying that he's going to be in the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal. And then during this, he is attacked by Juice Robinson and Jay White. I liked that they did this. I liked the attack. And moving forward, I feel a lot more interested now in the story following their first encounter than I did before that main event. So it may be a little bit weird, but at least things are definitely picking up there, because I've been kind of feeling like, personally, I've been feeling, and how do I word this properly? Jay White is a big star, and Jay White going to AEW was a huge get for AEW. Now, I do think that Jay White should be those guys that are at the very, very top. I didn't mind him feuding with Ricky Starks because I think that Ricky Starks is somebody that has definitely been working himself, you know, up and up and climbing the ranks. And he's, you know, was MJF's first challenger when he became AEW world champion. So the guy is definitely climbing up those ranks. And I thought, okay, for a first feud for Jay White, this could be great because, you know, Ricky Starks is a really good character. He's a great promo. He's great in the ring. And I think they can really mix it up. But like I said, for it being the first feud that Jay White is having, I really do think that they need to continue to make it a lot more steamier, a lot more of a hot. They need to heat this up a whole lot more. And they've started to do that now, but I think they should have started a lot earlier, because right now I haven't been too interested even so in like seeing Juice Robinson and Jay White back together again. I really haven't been too interested in that. I personally feel like right now Juice Robinson is benefiting more from this than Jay White is. So I kind of want to see that change a little bit. And I'm hoping that this story gets to the level that I feel Jay White should be at in AEW. And also this can help level up Ricky Starks so much, because like I said, Ricky Stark be climbing those ranks. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, I know Will Ospreay is happy that Aussie Open finally got signed, but maybe he wishes that they signed with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now we'll get the dream match between FTR and Aussie Open, or the Young Bucks versus Aussie Open. Dude, I'm here for any of those. Here for any of those options, Sheldon. Sheldon, who is also a YouTube member, thank you so much for the super chat. Much appreciated. We got another one here from Ryan Evans who says, I heard Russo say he thinks AEW will give you a job. What? I don't know what you're talking about, Ryan. I have no idea. But thank you so much for the super chat. Okay, let me go ahead and press on from here. And we're getting some comments in regards to Jay White. This is from Dante NYC, who says, Jay White isn't being used to his fullest potential. Hopefully that changes. And that's a little bit of kind of what I was just talking about right now, about him not really feeling like at the level of where he is. Because I truly think that Jay White, by the way, is not only one of the most talented guys, but also he is legitimately one of the best heels. I saw a while back a couple of people having this discussion on Twitter that they were talking about, you know, who was a better heel, Jay White or MJF. And I'm a big fan of MJF, but Jay White definitely gives him a run for his money when it comes to being a top heel. And I don't think that the AEW audience that hasn't seen Jay White doesn't even know that just yet, because we haven't really seen that just yet. And so for those of you who are probably like, what the hell is Denise talking about? There's no way Jay White's this great freaking heel. If you haven't seen him, for those that have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want to see that version of Jay White implemented more so in AEW. And whenever we do see, by the way, anything with Jay White and MJF, ooh, just know that that's when I'm going to be freaking stoked for it, man. Let's see what else we got here. And let me get some more comments as well. And let's see. We got a super chat here from Ryan Evans, who follows up on his comments saying, Rusev said because they brought in Will. Thank you, Ryan. I had no idea about this, but I appreciate you sending in this super chat. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying Jay White versus Ricky Stark is a lose-lose situation because neither man can truly afford to lose in this feud. They should have waited to do this feud. I get what you mean, Sheldon, and this was something that I touched on when this whole thing first started, because like you said, Ricky Starks coming off of that feud with MJF kind of felt like the hottest that he had been. And then he went into the whole thing with the Jericho Appreciation Society, and that kind of lowered his momentum just a tad bit. You know, people weren't too crazy about it. They were really excited for him to move on from feuding with Chris Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society. So he kind of took a step back there. But, and so you want to see Ricky Starks kind of stay at that exact same level where he was at and continue to grow where he's at when he was feuding with MJF, right? Like, that's what you want to see. But right now, I do think that him feuding with Jay White, could him getting that rub from Jay White, I think would be great for him. So him getting a victory over Jay White would be phenomenal, right? But then you're like, you should not be having Jay White lose to Ricky Starks, because Jay White, like I said, is coming in as this big deal of a signing. And so for him, if you know, to basically not get the happy ending, his happy ending here against Ricky Starks, it's like, where do you go? Which direction do you go here? With which man do you want at the top of all of this at the end? I don't know. Sheldon Jackson, yes, I agree. I think you can definitely make that argument for sure. And I appreciate you sending in the super chat as well. Ryan Evans says they're bringing you in as a backstage interviewer. You know, okay, I don't know about that, guys, because I'll just say this really quickly. A couple of people have mentioned me being a backstage interviewer for, you know, other promotions and whatnot. I have done it in the past. I did do it once for Ring of Honor. And also, I did do some interview stuff with like AAA and stuff like that, right? The thing about that is, guys, I love my YouTube channel. And I love the freedom that I have getting to cover all promotions. And so if I were to ever get hired as a backstage interviewer with somebody, it would not allow me the same freedoms that I have right now. And so I love doing more so like those guest spot appearances, as you guys have seen me do. And that's a little bit more of my cup of tea, because I know a lot of people might not see it this way, but I love my YouTube channel and I wouldn't give it up for the world. So just a little bit of my feelings on that. Yes, Steven says Denise loves us. I really truly think that there needs to be more female voices in the wrestling space. There needs to be more female content creators. And I feel that I am more useful in this role than anything else. But that doesn't mean I don't want to come out and do special appearances like I've done in the past. So there you go. Anyways, but moving on from this, let's get back to AEW. And all right, so let me get into the four pillars. Actually, I'll come back to that because I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Let's get into FTR. So FTR goes out there, they're cutting this promo, and they're basically, so they're doing this match. They're defending their tag team titles against Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett at Double or Nothing. And Mark Briscoe is going to be the special guest referee. And so this basically was FTR going out there and they're, you know, talking all this shit to Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, saying that they're trash, they're carnies. But you know what, though? They're smart because they've been lucky. They've been lucky, they say, but their luck is going to run out at Double or Nothing. And Dax Harwood says, do you honestly think that we were going to let the head of the tag team division be a couple of rejects from TNA and then also tells Jeff Jarrett to make sure that he still has a job with Dixie by calling Dixie Carter? And I'm thinking, okay, you're mentioning Dixie Carter's name here for a reason, and now I freaking want to see Dixie Carter come out and make some sort of appearance or something. I would pop for that. I would pop to see Dixie just randomly pop in. And I mean, we got Karen Jarrett last week. I think we can get Dixie Carter in this. But then we ended up getting this this face-to-face with Mark Briscoe and FTR, and they're telling them not to let these other guys make them look like a fool. There's a little bit of some conflict here, and Dax Harwood's telling Mark Briscoe, shake my hand, and Mark Briscoe's like, not, and pops him. So this was a little bit interesting. This feud, this entire thing has been all over the freaking place, and I know this is not a prediction show right now, so I'm going to repeat this tomorrow, but just so you guys know, I am rooting for Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal to win the tag team titles. Do not boo me. Do not turn on me here in the chat to the viewers. I'm sorry, but I am rooting for the chaos. And I just definitely think that if they were to become champions, it is really going to liven shit up, okay? Liven shit up in the tag team division, and I am here for it. I'm here for the chaos. I'm here for Jeff Jarrett holding gold in 2023. I am all here for this. John Deller sends in a super chat, says, just imagine Will and Denise working together again. Thank you so much, John. I talk to Will all the time, so I feel like I see him all the time. In fact, I feel like I see him more now than when we were freaking doing ATW, by the way. Also, I didn't realize how much I missed doing ATW because that was a really fun show, but everybody's mad. Hovering, Dante NYC says no. Hovering over the toilet says no. Justin Martin says no freaking way FTR should lose this. Absolutely not. Scott George says Denise wants the wrestling world to burn. Sean says I want that heel heat too. Sheldon Jackson says why? With Forbidden Door coming up, hell no, I'm good. Gator says FTR will lose. Honestly, guys, you know what? I'm going to have my own viewers turn on me, and I don't care. I am here for the chaos. Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett, tag team champions. Let's effing go. You know what? And if they lose, I'm going to be pissed. We'll see what happens. And let's see what else we got here. 554K's YouTube member says, I'm hoping FTR wins, but I will not boo you. All right. And let's see what else we got here. Oh, this is true, by the way. John Deller says, how can anybody turn on you? Your support for JJ, for Jeff Jarrett is well documented. This is true, by the way. This is very true. Daniel says, my heart is shattered. Thank you. Dante NYC says, can't be any worse than the ass boys as champs. Mic drop right there. Dante, please take over this show. You are now the new host of Speak Now Pro Wrestling, because I am so happy that you brought it up. We had the ass boys as champions in 2023. And not only that, they took the titles off of one of the most over acts in AEW, the Acclaimed, when they are still hot, still a team, still somebody you wanted to root for. And they took the titles off of them to give it to the ass boys. Think about that. All right. Seriously, think about that. So me wanting to see Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal actually win here, it's not that outrageous. It could be worse. All right. Everyone's going off on this. Let's see what else we got. Scott George says, how many shots is TK going to give Jared and Lethal before they win the titles? Exactly that too. There you go. And 554K, this is a good point. Not going to lie. Simeon says, we don't talk about that. What's that one meme from Bird Box? Is it Bird Box? Yeah, Bird Box, the one with Sandra Bullock when she is with the blindfolds and then there's that meme and everybody was making the meme of like making jokes. That's us right now. That's Simeon. That's Simeon pretending. We don't talk about the Ass Boys as champs. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, Denise, honestly, do you think that Gato would want Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal as AEW tag champs with Forbidden Door coming up? He'd rather have New Japan Pro Wrestling talent challenge FTR over Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but Tony Khan runs this portion. You know, he's going to decide who he wants as AEW tag team champions, man. And here is the thing, like, just because Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, they can have fun matches, guys. Not, you know, not just maybe straight up like FTR, like a different types of matches from FTR, but still good matches that are also entertaining. So don't take away from their talent, Sheldon. I'm watching you, Sheldon. Thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate it, man. I'm triggering Sheldon right now. I just know it. I can just picture it right now. Sheldon is like, damn it, Denise, how dare you? I love you, Sheldon. Thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so let's see. Let's press on from here. Now that the chat has gone absolutely crazy over this, let's press on and go into the AEW World Trios Championship because this was a whole lot of fun. I was mentioning earlier how we were seeing a lot of new faces in AEW, people that we don't get to see very often. One of those at the start was Kyle Fletcher. And this one here, Blake Christian, by the way, who I've been seeing so much of his work over in GCW. Like, he has literally been one of my highlights anytime I get to watch GCW. AR Fox is already All Elite, so I didn't mean to mention AR Fox, but I wanted to mention Grand Metalik. That's who I wanted to mention. Grand Metalik also getting an opportunity here. So the match was the Open House Rules match, and it was the House of Black defending their AEW World's Trios Championships against Blake Christian, AR Fox, and Grand Metalik. And this one to me was, first of all, let's talk about the little changes that they made here. So they made some changes in the presentation of this match because last time they did like pretty much all black dim lights with a couple of light specks here and there. But this time what they did was a different pattern of the lighting. So it kind of reminded me of like Van Gogh, like the moonlight painting with the little swirls, because it was little swirls, I think, of lighting. And I liked it. I didn't hate it. I feel like they might want to, because here's the thing, when you had the all black lighting, it's like it's cool, right? It may be cool for, I thought it was cool. It's cool for the experience when you're watching on TV and this and that, right? But at the same time, you're clearly going to want to see the crowd just a little bit more. So I think that this was them trying to show the crowd a little bit more. Like, hey, you got people there. You don't want to hide them, right? So this to me was kind of a way to keep the concept, but also show the fans just a little bit more there. So that was cool. But this was a lot of great stuff, man. Like, we got to see Grand Metalik come out here, have his moment. You know, he spent a lot of his prime in WWE. So for him to, a lot of time was kind of spent there. So I really didn't know what to really expect from him now here. So we did get some good moments. One of them was when he was, you know, doing the footwork on the ropes. The crowd definitely popped for him. Him and Blake Christian did like a dive to the outside simultaneously. That looked really cool. Blake Christian looked phenomenal in this as well. But to me, the star in this, aside from the House of Black, was AR Fox. AR Fox continues to deliver. We have seen him wrestle now multiple times in AEW, and he has not dropped the ball once. Not dropped the ball. Dude delivers every single time, and actually tends to end up being the highlight of the matches that he's in most of the time. So I really was happy to see AR Fox here today. I know that we kind of see him a little bit more sporadically, but this was a fun match that we got to see some new faces, some new matchups, and this was fine. But we end up seeing the House of Black. They retain. Cool. This was great stuff, guys. I was into all of this. This was fine. Let's see what people are saying about this. This is from Matt Hensley, who says, I didn't like the lights this week, but I think I'm in the minority. I think I prefer the no crowd lights personally. And I'm a little bit torn on this one. I'm not going to lie with you. I lie to you. I kind of do like last week's lights better, but it does make sense why they did this version a little bit more. But I do think that the swirl, it adds this effect that's not totally easy on the eyes. And so I felt that last week's was a little bit easier on the eyes, but this one just made a little bit more sense because it's clear they want to show the people. They want to show the people. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, love you too, Denise. I just think you want to watch the world burn if Jeff and Jay win on Sunday. I do want to watch the world burn. Burn. Sheldon, thank you so much for the super chat. And let's see what we got here. This is from the gaming noob who says, as much as I wanted to see Madalik shine, somehow, this ended up being House of Black's best showing so far. They finally justify the next in line after the Elite. I feel like I didn't care for that buildup when we were getting House of Black and the Elite. I really hated that buildup because all they were doing was turning out the lights during their matches. That was not that great. So, yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that. But let's press on from here. And let's get into now all the stuff with the four pillars. So earlier in the night, we got a video package from Jungle Boy. And Jungle Boy is basically talking about how he is reminiscing on his earlier days before AEW when he would do these drives to Vegas to work, to wrestle at these little casinos down the street. I'm wondering if he's talking about Sam's Town. He might be talking about Sam's Town. Because it is a little casino down the street. Well, it's not that little, but it's smaller down the street, a couple blocks down. Anyways, whatever. Or I don't know what exactly place he's talking about, but whatever. Anyway, so he mentions his feud with Christian Cage and says that every time he makes this drive to Las Vegas, he's always a little bit different. But one thing always remains the same, and that is his passion for wrestling, his passion for being in the ring, and says that it gives him a purpose and says that Monday morning he wants to drive back as the AEW World Champion. Now, I am a big fan of Jungle Boy. You guys know this. I'm always rooting for the guy, but bless his cotton socks. The only thing Jungle Boy is going to be driving back on Monday with is nothing but traffic. Because I do not think that Jungle Boy is going to become AEW World Champion. I'm sorry. I just can't buy it. They haven't done anything in this feud to make me believe that Jungle Boy is actually going to win. So I'm sorry. They haven't convinced me. They haven't made me go, you know what? There's a chance. Not with Jungle Boy. Same thing with Sammy Guevara. They haven't made me think, oh, Sammy Guevara actually has a chance of winning this. And I actually, last week I said they need to pick a direction with Sammy because he's heel, he's babyface, he's heel, he's babyface. Pick a lane and stick with it. So it's clear that they're sticking towards going the direction of making him a babyface because he cut another babyface promo. And Renee sends a message from MJF to Sammy saying that the offer still stands. The offer still stands for him to basically lay down in the match for MJF. And then Sammy's like, I'm not going to lay down for him. I'm not for sale. The money, this and that, but I'm not going to sell out for the money, whatever the hell he's saying. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Like 3 weeks ago, you were totally cool with this. You were totally cool with the idea of laying down for MJF and taking the money. He denied you one ride and that's it. All of a sudden it's different now. No, this to me was like, I get it. They're trying to make Sammy Guevara a babyface, but I've kind of hated the journey, the path that they have taken to that, because I'm like, everything you're saying right now, you already did a couple weeks ago. So for me, I'm thinking, okay, like this is a great promo, but if the other stuff hadn't happened, then You can't have it both ways. You can't say I won't take the money when you did take the money not too long ago. So whatever. But I did like the line where he said that his whole life people have tried to buy him out of his dreams, mentions his old bosses trying to give him raises and promotions and this and that so he can give up his dream of being a wrestler. That was great. And this would have been phenomenal had they never had him do all of the silly stuff that he was doing with MJF prior. There is a bit of a disconnection here, but whatever. They finally picked a lane, so we're rolling with it, all right? We're rolling with this lane of Sammy. This is really funny, actually. AFC and TP says, Guevara is a man who takes ride snubs seriously. That's a good one. So that's where we're at with Jungle Boy and Sammy Guevara. Again, they have not truly made me believe that Sammy Guevara or Jungle Boy are going to actually become AEW World Champions. With that being said, let's get into MJF's portion of all of this. MJF goes out there to the ring, and you know, he goes out there, he buries the crowd. He's calling everybody in. He says that they should rename Vegas to Virgin Vegas. And he's talking about the first Double or Nothing and how far the company has gone. But then he says, I am bored. I'm sick of the lack of competition. I'm sick of the fans that don't show me the respect that I deserve. And Tony Khan knows that Daddy's contract is coming up. And he's upset that in this match, he knows that he does not have to be the one to get pinned to actually win. So I'm wondering here. Do we actually believe that there is a chance that somebody else can win by pinning somebody else that's not MJF? Are they planting the seeds here or are they not? I kind of felt like they might be planting the seeds here. Now, I don't want to see MJF lose his championship. I really, really don't. However, if you were going to ask me, Denise, if someone other than MJF were to win in this match, who would it be? My guess would be Darby Allin. So Darby Allin comes in and he cuts this great freaking promo. He starts talking about how, you know, coming out of high school, people told him, oh, don't expect much from life. And just take what you can get or do whatever you can, whatever, right? He says that back in the day, he was working in the 99 cent store, scrubbing toilets and this and that. And he did that because people told him not to expect much from life. He talks about living in his car and saying that he didn't deserve to not live in his car until he made his dream of becoming a professional wrestler come true. He mentions that no other company would let him skate with, think Tony Hawk or something. And he confirms that what he told to TMZ. He is going to be climbing Mount Everest next week. And so this all leads to him cutting this very passionate promo. It sticks. It's real. It's raw. People like it. And MJF just kicks him in the balls. After this, we see Sammy Guevara run out there and ends up running out MJF. And as MJF is leaving to the back, Jungle Boy comes out. MJF tries to hit him with the triple B, but instead, Jungle Boy clotheslines MJF. So that's pretty much the end of what you see here with the four pillars. Now, to me, I'm just going to be real with you guys. To me, this feud is Darby and MJF. They are the main course. I honestly feel like Sammy Guevara and Jungle Boy are just bonuses in this. But to me, the main course, the main attraction, the main event is Darby Allin and MJF, because that has been the most interesting aspect of this entire story. Now, I really hope that we don't see MJF lose because I really like MJF as champion, but there's a part of me that's thinking, why did he make sure to specifically mention today that he's pissed that he doesn't even have to get pinned to lose his title? Why did they mention it? So that's got my wheel spinning going, what the hell is going to happen at Double or Nothing? So let's see what people are saying here. Dante NYC sends in a super chat saying, this four pillars match hasn't done much for me. I know the match itself will hump, but I'm not really looking forward to it. They haven't sold me. AEW is trying way too hard to make Sammy a babyface. I do agree with that. I do think they kind of took a complicated path to making Sammy a babyface. And again, they started off strong. They did start off strong with the four pillars. They kind of got, things got a little blurred in the middle. I do think the match is going to be good. But like I said, the main attraction to me, at least, is Darby and MJF. Dante NYC, thank you so much for the super chat. I really appreciate that so very much. And let's see what else we got here. We got Liam who says, we need more transitional champs just to keep things more unpredictable. And Let's see what other people here. People are suggesting that. Andrew G says, what about a Jungle Boy heel turn? Gator says, Jungle Boy needs a heel turn. I would not be surprised if that's the direction that they're going. A lot of people are pointing it out right now. Dante NYC as well. Jungle Boy heel turn would be interesting. I think so too, because I feel like, so Banning Hammond says Jungle Jack needs more feuds to build up his credibility. I do agree, because really the big one was Christian Cage and Jungle Boy. That was really, I mean, sorry, Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. That was really the big one there. And everybody here is pointing out Jack Perry turning heel. And the good thing about this, if they do turn officially Jungle Boy turning him heel, it would make a lot of sense, because you can tie that back to a lot of what MJF said to him in the beginning when this whole thing first started, where they didn't see eye to eye about morals and taking the being like the low hanging fruit and taking that direction. So it would tie things in very nicely. But we got a lot of people here suggesting this. Base Marston says, which pillar eats the pin? With MJF, if MJF wins, I would like to see him get the pin. I would probably say Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy. If it's Darby or Jungle Boy or Darby Allin, I think those two would mean the most. If Darby Allin were to win, it would have to probably be, I feel like Sammy Guevara. I think it would be too obvious to make it Sammy Guevara. So I would also go with Jungle Boy. For some reason, I don't want to see Sammy Guevara to be the one to take the pin, because I think that would be too obvious. Too obvious for him to be in that spot specifically to take the pin from someone. So I'm a little bit on the fence here, where I'm kind of feeling Wilson Mitchell also says Jungle Boy might eat the pin. So I think that's kind of where I'm feeling this. Wilson Mitchell predicts a double turn. D. Eddie says, if Darby wins, I think he'll do it clean on MJF. That's the thing. But here's the thing. If Darby wins, it would be a lot more of a bigger deal to have him pin MJF. But I don't think they want MJF to get pinned in this match. Hence the reason why they did this four pillars match. I don't think they want MJF to be the one to take the pin here. But it would mean a lot more, though, if Darby were to pin MJF there. So we'll see. We'll definitely see. All right, and let's see what else we got here. Ooh, this is a prediction from Gedlin, who says that he predicts Jungle Boy is going to lay down for MJF. Holy damn, that would be so... I hope not. If they do it a different... Oh, fuck. If they're going to turn Jungle Boy heel officially, that would be a way to do it, but fuck. That would be like, I don't even know, man. I don't even know. But either way, I'm thinking if MJF doesn't retain, I think this one's Darby's, but I'm really hoping MJF does retain, but who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? D. Eddie says MJF with the finger poke of doom. For reals, man. Oh, God. All right. So let's continue on from here. Let's press on with the rest of the show. Let's get into the women's match of the night. And we had Lady Frost versus Taya Valkyrie. Now, Taya Valkyrie is going into this major matchup against Jade Cargill for the TBS Championship at Double or Nothing. And Lady Frost getting to make her AEW debut. I was such a fan of this matchup. I was such a fan of getting to see Lady Frost versus Taya. If you would have told me this match is going to happen on AEW like a year ago, I would have been like, wait, what? How? I'm so happy, because Lady Frost and Taya are two of the finest women's wrestlers out there, man. They are some of the busiest ones too. Lady Frost is all over the indies. She's also, we already know Taya's extensive history with going to Mexico. Lady Frost has been going to Mexico a whole lot too. They're both similar in the way that they also are very aggressive in ring. Like, they lay their shit in. And so that's always really fun to see. But Lady Frost has a background in gymnastics. So she goes out there and she does things where you're like, ooh, damn, that's cool. So she tends to do that. Like, during this match, they made sure to highlight some of that. Like, she did like all these front flips that led to a cannonball. She did this tornado. I mean, girl was out there hustling. So that was really cool to see her Ty is like chopping her at one point, clotheslining her. And this was a fun match that clearly Taya Valkyrie had to win because she's the one going into this pay-per-view match. She wins with the Road to Valhalla. Very nice match. Loved it. Good stuff there. And I'm really, really, again, rooting for Taya Valkyrie at Double or Nothing. I really do think that Taya needs to win because she is the one that just came into AEW. She's the one that needs something to really set her on the path. She needs to do something, have a moment where she's going to put the entire roster on notice. If Taya Valkyrie defeats Jade Cargill, she is instantly sending a message to all the other women in that locker room that she has arrived. And Taya Valkyrie has the credentials. She has the credibility to be at the very, very top of the AEW women's division, killing it and having banger matches with just about every other woman that they have in there. So I do think that Taya Valkyrie should win at Double or Nothing, but that's where we're at with that. All right, so we need to get into the official Tony Khan announcement. This is the announcement that we all pretty much knew we were going to get, but it's always official when it's officially announced. It's just a rumor otherwise. Tony Khan basically announces that June 17th, the premiere of AEW Collision will indeed be taking place at the United Center in Chicago. And that has been reported since way back, but it's officially announced. And so everybody's like saying two words, and that is CM Punk. So excited. I'm looking forward to Collision. I am going to be doing Saturday post shows immediately following Collision. So make sure you guys come in for that. I'm really excited for all of that stuff. So we'll see what happens there. And all right, so before we continue on with the rest of the show, we got a couple more things to talk about. We got a super chat here from Grapple Geekery who says, for the record, I like Jane. This reign is just played out and has been for ages. That said, Frost had a great entrance and a great showing. I agree, Grapple Geekery. I do agree with all of what you said there. I appreciate that. And before we continue on with the rest of the show, really quickly, everybody, this podcast has been sponsored by my good friends over at Wrestle Rumble. They have been sponsoring a couple of my shows, and this is one of them because they have two contests that are taking place for Night of Champions. They have the Night of Champions Pick'em as well as the Double or Nothing Pick'em. So the way that this works is you head on over to WrestleRumble.com, you purchase an entry, and they give you a form. In this form, they ask you a bunch of prop questions about what you predict is going to happen on the pay-per-views or premium live events. And the person that answers the most right wins. For Night of Champions, the first place winner is going to not only get $500 in cash, but is also going to get the World Heavyweight Championship belt. That is a massive prize. For the Double or Nothing Pick'em contest, the first place winner will be getting $500. Now, you never know if you're really great at predictions. Now is the chance to put those to the test. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com, purchase your entry, and enter. You might just be a winner. And you can find all of those links in the description box below. Thank you so much to WrestleRumble, WrestleRumble.com. Alrighty, and now let's go ahead and continue on from here. And let's get into, Sass Grider says $500 and the world's championship. Exactly. Two prizes. All right. And let's see what else we got here. Let's get into the contract signing. This is the big one here. Adam Cole, Chris Jericho doing the signing. I really enjoyed this promo from Adam Cole. I thought Adam Cole was pretty savage in this. He signs it immediately. He tells Jericho that, you know, he's sick and tired of the fact that Jericho could do anything he wants because he's Chris Jericho. And he says, I like unsanctioned matches because AEW, your blood will not be in the hands of AEW. They will be in my hands. And that's the way I like it. And I'm thinking, ooh, okay. Then he says, he looks Jericho dead in the eyes. And he says, I'm going to break your legs. I thought that was really, dude, imagine going up to someone and saying, I'm going to break your legs. Come on now. That's pretty messed up, man. That's good stuff. Then he says, I'm going to shatter your jaw. I'm going to break your hand. And then he says, hurry up and sign the paper, bitch. Now he says it with a lot more emphasis. And this was great because He says that, and then the crowd starts chanting, "Sign it, bitch! Sign it!" And it was really hilarious. And then Jericho goes, "I ain't no bitch. I'm not from Las Vegas." So I thought that was pretty funny too. This whole little bitch line was funny because it's like the one thing every single time we see it everywhere in WWE and AEW, all these places. Someone says their shit. They say all the things they need to say, and then they end it with a bitch. And it's the funniest thing ever. It's the funniest thing ever. So I thought that was hilarious. So then we get a replay from Chris Jericho. He replays the attack that they did on Britt Baker and shames Adam Cole for being a terrible husband because how dare he let his wife get beat down, right? And then he points out there's five of us and there's only two of you. And I'm thinking, is Kyle O'Reilly going to return? Because I don't know when Kyle O'Reilly is going to return. I don't know what his situation is with his everything that he's dealing with health-wise and all of that. I don't know. But then he says, he didn't mention Kyle O'Reilly, by the way. This was just me thinking. And then he says, you know, I made a phone call to someone who lives in Las Vegas and thus brings out Sabu. Holy shit. Did not see this one coming. Loved this freaking surprise. And Now, he's going to be the special enforcer, by the way. Sabu's going to be the special enforcer in this match. They announced it later on in the show and all of this, right? Sabu, I have not seen Sabu live in person. God, I think since like 2004, 2005, I saw him in this random lucha show that I went to. Don't even remember the promotion's name. I think it started with an F. Don't even remember what the hell the promotion was called, but they did a show. Fuck, that's going to bother me. They did a show at, I forget if it was the Forum. Might have been the Forum. I think it was the Forum. Was it the Forum? Sorry, we have so many venues here in LA. I don't even remember which one it was, but it was this really like random lucha show and they did this show here in Los Angeles and he was in it. And so I remember that was my first time ever seeing Sabu live and getting to see him wrestle and all of that. So I remember being really excited about that because I had never seen him wrestle live. So that was really cool. And like, I really hadn't seen much of him since then. Like he's been busy, obviously, you know, doing indie stuff and, you know, you did some stuff with Impact Wrestling and everything in recent years and all of this. And so, but to see him come out here and to be part of this, this was really cool. I thought this was a nice way to have a fun surprise and get Sabu a nice payday, because that's the way I'm seeing this, as a nice payday for Sabu. And also Sabu is legitimately, he is a pioneer. He's a pioneer that I don't even think people really gave him the right credit that he deserves for being so ahead of his time. Like this guy was doing, if you go back and watch like his matches and during that time period, the things, the movesets that he was doing and the way that he's so smooth in the ring and the way that he does things. Oh my God. If you go back and watch that stuff, you're like, dude, Sabu was always, you know, ahead of his time, a pioneer. So anyways, this is very exciting. Happy to see him get an opportunity here in AEW to have, you know, a nice moment and get paid, because that's what we want, to get paid. So this was good stuff here. We got everybody here pointing out that they're very happy to see Sabu as well. Everybody here, I think, is very happy. I haven't seen anybody complain. It's one of those things where, Sass Ryder says FMW. I don't think so. I don't know, guys. This is really going to bother me because I don't know what promotion it was that did that show. So if someone finds it online or something, might have even been, this is the stupidest thing that I remember from that night. The stupidest thing that I remember is that they had a clown show. Believe this or not, at that show, they had clowns come out and perform. They were called, and this is what I remember from this show, they were called Trampitas. I know some of you guys are like, what? So they came out and they did, it was this clown act called Trampitas. And the reason why I always remember them is because they gave me a business card. No, guys, it was not Lucha Vavoom. It was not Lucha Vavoom. It was started with an F, but I don't think it was FMW. Someone said he was here as FMW, but I don't think it was FMW. No, I think it was something else. It had more initials than that. Sorry, this was a very long time ago. But they had a clown show And they came out and they did some dancing and they gave everybody some business cards. And I still have that business card to this day. I saved it. And it was literally called Trampitas. And that's like the big thing that I remember from this show. I also remember there was a steel cage match, but it was kind of a disaster because they couldn't get the steel cage up. So like the people were just there waiting for them to get the steel cage up for like the longest time. And I remember that was the first time I had ever seen anybody struggle putting on a steel cage, because I had seen a steel cage match live, but it was in WWE, and they, you know, bring it from the top to the bottom, right? This promotion was setting it up, you know, prior to the actual match. And it was like right in the middle or the main event or something. I don't know. But yeah, so it was an interesting one, but anyways, that was the last time that I saw Sabu in person. So there you go. No idea what the show is. It's going to bother me for a really long time until I figure it out. I might even have the ticket. I'll look for the ticket. If I find the ticket, I'll update people on that. But there you go. We got Sabu here on AEW. Get himself some payday. No, guys, it wasn't PCW Ultra either. No. This is what you guys need to know, by the way. For those of you who may not know, like, the Los Angeles wrestling scene. So we do have our major, you know, our major known promotions, right? Your indie promotions, your PCW Ultras, your PWGs, your GCWs, right? All of that. But there are so many, like, even smaller lucha shows. And this one, considering that it was at a pretty big venue, wasn't that small, actually. But this was years and years ago, early 2000s. But they do have, like, so many lucha shows here in LA. Like, it's pretty crazy, actually, how many you have out here. All right, so let's see what else we got here. 554Ks. I mean, I have not seen many of Sabu's matches. My message was too long to finish my thought. Oh, sorry, I didn't read your earlier message. I'll have to. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. This is from 554K YouTube member who says, I did not expect Sabu to come out, but when Adam Cole started describing who he was talking about, I was like, oh, this sounds familiar. I have not seen many of his matches, but the ones I saw were good. Yeah, go back and watch a lot of his older stuff. Watch all of that stuff. And trust me, you'll be like, when was it? I think even last year, I was actually having this discussion with a friend and we were talking about Sabu. And this led to actually me going down this like rabbit hole of watching Sabu matches from like a year where I was like 1 year old and really just kind of re-watching some of this stuff and getting to get re-familiarized with certain things. And so, because I have that like fresh in my mind right now, but anyways, so, sorry, I'm laughing at some of your comments. Tim Weininger says he was an FMW in 2002. I'll figure it out, guys. I'll look for the ticket stub. I'll look for it. Anyways, all right. So we also ended up getting Roderick Strong versus Daniel Garcia. I wasn't too into this match. This was probably my least favorite match of the night. It just didn't grab my attention. Roderick Strong gets the win. Cool. Good stuff there for Roderick to get the win, but I wasn't too into this match though, honestly. We ended up getting a video replay of Willow Nightingale winning the New Japan Strong Women's Championship, and that was huge because she got to defeat Mercedes Moné at the Long Beach Walter Pyramid. And man, I felt so bad at how many people were trash talking the amount of people that were on the show and saying like, oh, it's not a big stage and this and that and all of this thing. And I was just sitting there going like, damn, some people really like to suck the damn fun, because this was a major moment for both Willow and Mercedes. Mercedes and Willow to get this main event spot on this show. And the crowd was definitely a good crowd. Now, I know there were people shit talking about the crowd size and the amount of people that were there and this and that. They've done three shows at the Walter Pyramid, okay? Now, I'm not going to lie to you. This third one was the least packed one that they had. The first two were the most packed. But even with that being said, they drew a pretty nice amount of people that were there. And I know this because I was there. And legitimately, the people were going nuts for Mercedes and Willow at the top of the match. I don't know how many of you guys watched Resurgence, but you can hear it, especially because it's a bleacher seating, so you do the really loud banging and it's just extra loud. And because of the pyramid and the way that the sound bounces in the pyramid, it's even louder than that. So it felt like even more. So for me, I just thought, I kind of felt bad that a lot of people were shitting on that because fuck, like they were in the main event. And for this show here, for New Japan, like that's pretty freaking exciting. And this was clearly, like Mercedes has said in multiple interviews, she has said that this was her dream, guys. This was her dream. And for her to be able to get this opportunity and get these opportunities, period, is huge, right? And then Willow Nightingale, one of the things that she said when she won the title was she said that she had fought for so many years and years to be on a stage like this, to not only be on a stage like this, but to be in the main event and then to have wrestled twice in one night and then to have an opponent across the ring with the credentials, with the legacy that Mercedes Moné has had in not just in recent times, but with her vast history with WWE and all of that. It was a huge moment. And I did feel bad that a lot of people were shitting on that on social media, but I just want to say out here, since I was at the show, that that was a really awesome moment for those two. It was unfortunate that Mercedes got hurt during that match. Really unfortunate to have to see her get carried off. But you know what, though? They went out there and they did their thing, man. They did their thing. And we got a lot of people putting over Willow, by the way. Good stuff there as well. All right, so now let's go ahead and last but not least, we only have one more thing to talk about really quickly. We got our main event, which was the Lucha Brothers versus Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. And this was all good action. This all basically led. So earlier in the night, we had gotten a promo from the Blackpool Combat Club, and it was pretty much very straightforward. It was just them saying that they were the best and they're going to win and this and that. Very simple, straightforward promo, whatever. And during this match, though, we end up seeing the Young Bucks come out from underneath the ring. And at one point, they end up holding back Claudio Castagnoli, so he's not allowed to go in and break up the pin. So this is how the Lucha Brothers actually get their win in this match with the help of the Young Bucks. And so this all turns into this, like, you know, big melee of a thing. And afterwards we end up having, and this is my favorite part, so the Young Bucks run away. They run away. The BCC's out there. The Young Bucks run away. And Moxley, I loved this because not only does he tell the Young Bucks that they better take pics with their fans and go FaceTime with their friends and family because their faces are going to change. And this is my favorite part. He then pretty much addresses the people that are squeamish and the people that don't like the violence. And he says, you are going to get the most violent, the most bloody, the most violent match that you can get at Anarchy in the Arena. And I love this because he basically said, and I'm just going to reword it for Jon Moxley. He basically said, if you're soft and you can't handle the violence, this ain't for you. So get over that shit because we're going to come out here and we're going to have a freaking violent match. And when he said that, I bought it. I'm excited. Anarchy in the Arena is the match that I'm most looking forward to. I'm running a giveaway right now on my YouTube, on my Twitter page, and for Double or Nothing. So if you haven't entered that, enter that. But I ask people, what is the match you're most looking forward to? And the match that everyone is naming, like 95% of the people, it is Anarchy in the Arena. Like that's the match that is making people, I think, that weren't going to possibly tune in or buy the pay-per-view. This is the match that, hey, I'm going to spend $50 to make sure that I watch freaking Double or Nothing because I want to see Anarchy in the Arena. So great ending to the show. Loved it. And for the most part, a pretty damn decent show. So this was a good one overall. A lot of new faces, like I said, getting to see Kyle Fletcher and Grand Metalik, as well as, you know, clearly Sabu, since we haven't seen him on AEW. That was another one. Lady Frost was another one that we got to see. And then Blake Christian, too. So we got to see a lot of new faces on AEW, period. So that was pretty awesome. All right, guys, let's see what else we got here. Hovering over the toilet says, I feel like Double or Nothing is going to be violent. I think so, too, because not only do you have the Anarchy in the Arena match, but then you also have Wardlow and Christian Cage in that ladder match. That should be violent, too. And then the Unsanctioned match as well. That should be violent, too. So Yeah, we're going to get some good stuff there. Melissa Cabello says there's going to be a lot of blood on AEW. Love it. I agree. Completely agree. And I will be there. I will be at Double or Nothing. And so make sure you guys subscribe because I will be at the Scrum. I will be posting all of those videos and any other content that I can get from this weekend will be posted up here on the channel. So make sure you guys are subscribed and that you guys check back for all of that good stuff. Other than that, I will be back here tomorrow. Once again, do not forget 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will be joined by Phil Lindsay and Righteous Reg, and we are going to be sharing not only our AEW Double or Nothing predictions, but also our WWE Night of Champions predictions. So make sure you guys come in for that. It'll be a good time as well. Thank you guys so much as always, and I will catch you on the next episode of Speak Now Pro Wrestling. Thank you to everybody. Enjoy this massive pay-per-view weekend. Wait, hold on. Crap. Hold on. I just got a super chat. My bad. Sorry, this came in late. All right, this is the last super chat I'm reading, unless you want to send more now. But here we go. Christopher Marino says, blood. Give me all the blood. Speaking of blood, I'm bringing my son to the GCW show on the 17th as its first wrestling show and wants light tubes. Dude, okay, let me tell you. Your son is going to have a phenomenal time at GCW because you get a little bit of everything. They do those scramble matches. They do intergender. They do violence. They do things that I think your son is going to be like, I'm a fan. He's going to have a life-changing experience at GCW. That's for sure. Christopher Marino, thank you so much for the super chat. I'm sorry that I almost missed it. And that always happens to me too. Always. But thank you so much for sending in this generous super chat. Okay. There. I think I got it now, right? No more? Okay. Thank you to everybody. Sorry for botching the intro of the show as well as the outro of the show. Hey, live YouTube television. It happens. Thank you guys so much. And now have a wonderful wrestling weekend. Goodbye, everyone.